What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too. That's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some things and struggle at times. But this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. First of all, shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused. NeuroGum is a chewing gum as well as mints. It has about 40 milligrams of caffeine per piece. L-theanine, B vitamins 6 and 12 helps with energy, focus, memory recall. I chew it all the time. Really, you know, when I'm working out, I'm driving around showing houses. Sometimes when I'm doing jujitsu. I really enjoy it. It usually just kind of gets me in the mood, gets my, you know, my creative juices flowing, and makes me feel smarter. And I like it. It just doesn't make you feel jittery. It's great. So get out there, try some NeuroGum.
Also, just want to give a big shout out to Fit Flavors. We know the promo code's over. It ended at the end of May. But we really appreciate you guys coming on the show, giving us that promo code. And I mean, just because the promo code's over does not mean we're gonna stop eating. I mean, I'm really looking forward to the new menu. You got a chance to look at it today.
You walked in with a bag full of meals.
Yeah, I walked in today with a bag full of Fit Flavors. So nothing changes from the fact that their food's still delicious. It's still awesome for people that are on the go to track their diets. I got their macros counted for you, so it's easy to track. And plus, throw it in the microwave for a minute and a half, and it's ready to rock and roll. So again, thank you, Fit Flavors. We appreciate it and look forward to this new menu coming out.
Yeah, dude, I'm stoked.
Yeah.
I'm pumped. But yeah, man, how's everything going?
Going good. Crazy last couple weeks. It's going to get even crazier now that coaching starts. So, but luckily, like most of those games, you know, that it's easy to kind of work around them based on when they're playing and things like that. So shouldn't be too bad. It's just going to be... It's just going to be a lot more on my plate, which is fine. I mean, I like to stress test myself. So this is definitely going to stress test to see what I can and can't handle. And, you know, I did a little bit last year. Luckily, you know, last year, those tournaments were smaller and in town, most of them. This one, we're doing a couple out of town trips and things like that. But, you know, I'm looking forward to the challenge to see how it's going to push me to, especially when it comes to time blocking and staying on top of tasks and things like that, just so I can be efficient and still do this, as well as stress test my team to see what all they can take on and handle. So no, I'm excited for it. I'm ready to get that season started, see how these guys are improving and getting better. Then yeah, jiu-jitsu's awesome. I love it. And then yeah, CrossFit's still kicking my ass. I mean, yeah. Just came from there this morning and RX'd my first workout all the way through.
Fuck
so yeah, I was pumped about that. I feel like the conditioning side of things, like things that are more endurance based, I'll be able to do at the RX level, just because it's endurance. And I feel like endurance wise, I'm there. It's the ones where we're mixing in the different
barbell movements.
Yeah, movements where I'm still trying to...
Gymnastic movements and barbell.
Where it's going to take a little bit of time on the strength side to develop the proper mechanics.
Oh, bro.
To do it.
I'm
so,
like 3 years into CrossFit now, and I still struggle with, you know, I mean, I don't RX every workout.
Yeah.
You know?
No,
I mean, there's, you know, a handful. I mean, I do, I would say like 60, 70% of the time I RX them, you know, but like if I'm looking at one, I'm like, oh man, there's no way I'm going to get that many clean it jerks at 185, you know, or whatever it is, you know, you got to just be honest with yourself. And then some days you go in and you're like, I don't know, man, today's, I'm not feeling it today. Like, I don't know. I'm sore as fuck from yesterday. Like, you know, if I do, you know, if the prescribed work, you know, weight is 135 and today we're doing it at, you know, 115. I'm not going to go home and beat myself up about it.
And like, that's the thing, is like the biggest thing is getting the workout in.
Yeah, getting the movements.
It doesn't matter what level you're doing it at. It's still going to be a kick-ass workout. So
like, that's one thing I love about CrossFit is like, you always, I mean, you never leave that place and feel like, man, I never, I'm, you know, I feel like I could do more, you know, that was easy. I mean, you know, like there's very few times I've left there and been like, not just absolutely drenched in sweat.
Oh, yeah. Today was just like, Yeah. I mean, I just sat there for probably 15 minutes afterwards, just like
recovering,
collecting myself.
Yeah. You know? Oh, dude, you should have seen me on the floor after birth. I couldn't imagine. You know?
I couldn't. Yeah. I mean, I'm bummed that I missed it. Kind of. But no,
well,
I mean,
hey, this is going to give you a full year to get
exactly,
you know, get your pull-ups better, and then you can, you know, hopefully, you know, do it
right,
you know, fully.
Because I know it's going to be much easier if I can do a kipping pull-up than it is.
Oh, it's a skill.
I mean, it's a big skill
to like learn how to kip. Like Blake, who came, he was like watching us all do pull-ups, and then he could tell, he was like, I'm going to try to swing up there and do that. And he was like, ah, there's no way.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause strict pull-ups, man, that's fucking so hard.
I mean, 100, I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I could do 100 strict pull-ups.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, it'd be
banded even with the bands. I mean,
I don't think I could do it with the vest, 100 strict pull-ups.
Yeah.
Cause I couldn't do it for time for sure.
Yeah. This was by far my best Murph time this year, which I was pretty proud of. I think I beat my best vested time by like almost 4 minutes. So I was pretty happy with that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was the best one I ever done. So
how things go for you?
Oh, you know, it's been a day. Been a week. I've got like 3 or 4 deals that are just making me want to slam my head in a car door. it's like, you know,
in real estate,
it's just like, dude, you know, like I was over at my parents' house for breakfast this morning. We took Calvin over there cause they're leaving for a trip today. And, you know, so I was telling them, I was like, man, you know, when real estate's good, it's great. But like, boy, there are some days where this fucking job, it's just, you know, it's peaks and valleys, you know, like some days you're on top of the world. You know, like you just closed a big, big deal, got a big check, you know, everybody's happy, everything's good. And then there's other days where like just all sorts of problems have happened. And you just, every single time your phone rings, it's like, you know, just a problem or like something you got to pay for now and like something you got to do. And
Yeah,
so it's just been one of those days. I just got, you know, I've just been putting out fires all morning. So, you know, hopefully we can get it all. Cause I got 2 deals that are supposed to close tomorrow that are like, I mean, I think we've got it figured out. I think as long as everybody does what they said that they're going to do.
Yeah.
And then I've got an issue going on with our flip, you know, with the buyers wanting some ridiculous things to be repaired that don't need to be repaired, in my opinion. And, yeah, so we're just kind of negotiating through that. I mean, who knows, it might fall apart and might have to go back out on the market. But if that's what happens, that's what happens. Oh. I mean, it's part of the game. I knew what it was when I signed up for it. It's not all sunshine and rainbows all the time. So
the unglamorous side that they don't show about real estate.
Yeah, they don't show you that on HGTV.
No.
Flip or flop doesn't show you that.
Yeah, all that shit's staged. But yeah, I mean, it's never, no two deals are ever the same.
No.
You know, and
They're their own unique little snowflake.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And you're trying to navigate it. And I mean, that's why the good ones are the good ones, because they know how to get it done. You're going to figure it out. You're going to get it done. And you know, it happens.
You know, like I had a perfect one pretty much closed the other. Was it last week? I think it was last week she closed. And that one was like, man, if every deal went as smooth, that's what I told her when we closed. I was like, if every deal went as smoothly as this one did, and there'd be zero stress in my life.
Was that Lauren's deal?
Yeah, Lauren's deal was, I mean, it was perfect. I mean, we got a great offer, way above asking, you know, inspections were silky smooth, not a problem. Not one thing that needed to be done. Buyer had all, you know, no issues with buyer's financing. I mean, it closed, you know, in less than 30 days. I mean, she did all the right things. You know, I kind of coached her in what to do. She used all the people I recommended. Everything went just silky smooth. And it was a very good price point for me. And, you know, and I was like, man, this is just, if I get more of these, man, my life would be,
right.
Be a
well,
lot.
See, and that just goes to the point. It's like, trust the agent and the people that they refer you to, because they're a top agent for a reason. And they're working with people that allow them to continue to be top agents. So it's like, trust those referrals, because you vetted them and you trust them and you know that they're going to do the job correctly and efficiently and get it done. And it's, you know, every time I hear it's like you got people that are bringing in things from the outside is usually when you start having issues.
Yeah.
And, you know, trust those people. You know, that's there's one thing I can say, the one advice I could give to people that are buying or selling, trust your agents and the people that they are referring you to, because there is a reason that they are working with those people.
Yeah. It's not like I don't get any sort of you know, payment or kickback or anything for use for, you know, right. me referring them to you.
It's
or
illegal.
Me. Right. Exactly. Like I don't get any kickback or anything from, you know, my moving company, my cleaning company, my staging company, my photo, you know, my photographer, my video guy, like all those guys. So they're all like, I right. don't get anything for that. I just like working with them because they do great work. And right. I know that you're going to be happy and I'm going to be happy. So let's make everybody happy.
Let's just make this easy, yeah. you know? So yeah. unfortunately it doesn't always work that way, but that's all right. You know,
yeah, it is what it is. Well, I'll figure it out. We'll get through it. But yeah, we're about a week away from baby, or a week tomorrow from baby coming. So
nice.
We're ready to roll. It's just fucking nuts, man.
Yeah,
it's just like
gonna
a week.
Have
you know,
two
of them. I know, man. Two ones. It's crazy. But yeah, so we're ready to go. But yeah, so today, guys, we wanted to do another Q&A episode. We got a lot of questions last time. We didn't get to go through them all, so we figured we'd just make another episode. Answering some more of these questions. And, you know, we want to start making this a more regular thing because it's just, quite frankly, it's fun. Yeah. It's an easy way to, you know, get the listeners involved. And it's like it's a fun way for us to do an episode. You know, it always just kind of sparks like random conversation. Like our last one was my favorite episode title I think we've ever had. Yeah. It was like, what was it? Low T, crackheads and vision boards.
Shout out Connor Silverstein.
Yeah. Right?
Low T Connor.
I'm with you, Connor. It's okay.
Okay. I'm there too.
We can be low T buddies together.
I'm probably there too. So yeah, Murph's the only one with good testosterone. So, all right. My buddy Crispy asked us, what is the best concert you've ever been to? I think this is a great question. Murph, I mean, obviously you want to go first because you just got back from a pretty crazy weekend of concerts.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've always broken things down into like the objective best and my objective favorite. And this is something like my quote unquote rave parents, they didn't understand. They thought they were the same thing. And something could be your favorite, but it doesn't mean it's objectively the best. So my favorite show I've ever seen was during our 24 hours in New York last September. I was in Miami, then I was in West Palm Beach, and then I was in New York all in a matter of like 3 days. And we went to the late show Slander, which is the group I've seen 10 times. And it was at the Brooklyn Mirage, which is my favorite venue. And just what that show means to me is it's my favorite. But the best I've ever seen was night one of EDC Las Vegas this last year at Kinetic Field, which was Illenium. And like, I've seen this dude 3 times. This blew my fucking mind. It was just ridiculous because it's like heavy dubstep. There's a lot of dancey shit. And then there's all like the sad boys sing along things. Like, you know that one Illenium song, you know, Good Things Fall Apart. Tell me what you ain't about me. It goes fucking so hard. So
how'd that go again?
Whatever it is, I'm sorry.
Get it, Murph.
Yeah. All right, I can't sing worth shit, but I could headbang my ass off. So objectively, those are both my favorite and best show that I've ever seen for a lot of different reasons.
Oh, all right. Let me think here, man. I haven't, like, in my younger years, I went to a lot more concerts, you know, through college and stuff. Man, I would say my favorite, it's between one or two, and we're both down at Missouri State, seeing Wiz Khalifa in what's the name of the JQH? Mm-hmm. JQH was probably my favorite.
Was it hotboxed in?
Fuck yeah. We all smuggled a bunch of joints and stuff in. It was awesome. It was, you know, just hotboxing in the JQH. And it was right when, what was the, what mixtape was it? It just came out.
What time was this?
This was like my 20, sophomore year. So probably 2016, 2017?
So
probably 2017.
You're probably looking at like Rolling Papers 2.
I think it might have been Rolling Papers 1.
Rolling Papers 1 came out when we were still in high school.
Okay, never mind.
That was 2011.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even remember. But man, it was...
Oh, and IFC came out 2012-ish. And then it was Black Hollywood. And then he probably had like a little... 28 grams. Could have been that.
Maybe it was that. Yeah, I think it was. Because it was whenever... I think it was 28 grams. And that came out. And I was literally from like... I was probably 10 feet away from him. It was sick. And he had this like... lit up microphone, and then like a few weeks later Mac Miller came down there, and we saw Mac Miller in the Shrine, and that was right after Macadelic came out, And that mixtape was awesome. Big fan of that one. And so, yeah, those were like within a month of each other down at Missouri State. And I would say those are probably my two favorite. And man, I'll be honest, like I haven't gone to a lot of concerts. Like we went to the one a couple weeks ago. It was my first concert I've been to in a long time. Yeah. So, yeah, no, my younger years, I went to Mayhem Fest twice. That was pretty sick. But like it's kind of a different vibe, different experience.
It's hot as fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, so I would say probably Wiz or Mac Miller down at Missouri State were my two favorite that I went to.
Yeah, my favorite, I mean, I've got my like top 10, but like my ultimate favorite all-time favorite concert was also, it was at Galois. It was Eric Church.
Oh, sick.
And this was right when that Carolina CD came out. And we started off in the back row, our backs were against the wall, at the very top. And by the end of it, we were in the front row. Dang. Like we figured out a way to get all the way down there.
Maneuver your way.
Yeah. And I mean, just cause it, I mean, the Galois can only hold about 2,000 people and it was jam packed and, just a mix of drinks and, you know, obviously with baseball, there was no drugs to be had, but lots of alcohol.
We drank, we did that too.
Right. Well, and the thing was, is like, it was just so fucking rowdy.
Yeah.
And I think that's what made it great. But like, I mean, it was early in his career, so he wasn't playing big. So it was a little more intimate. But at the same time, just rowdy. And I was with all my guys on the baseball team. This was my senior year. And I had just pitched. So I was done for the weekend and I just,
you're chilling.
Yeah. Oh, well, I was ready to roll. And so when we got down to the front, it was the Jägermeister tour and I was wearing a Jägermeister t-shirt and I guess the alcohol convinced me to take my shirt off and throw it on stage.
Very Missouri thing to do.
Right. So threw my shirt on stage and then a buddy of mine gave me a spare shirt that he had, or he was wearing a button up.
Yeah. He had a shirt underneath.
Yeah. And he had a shirt underneath. So he gave me that. And so later on the concert, that one came off and wound up on stage too.
It was hot.
Mm-hmm.
My balls was hot.
Yeah. My balls was hot.
and then, you know, he was like, he asked for a can of dip and everybody just chucked their can.
That's hilarious.
Up there. It was great. It was a great concert. I think one of the neatest experiences that I've had was when I was in high school. I was working for a catering company, and this woman spent like $500,000 for her husband's 40th birthday.
Fuck.
It was in Frontenac. House was unbelievable. It was beautiful. Well, she hired Michael Bublé to come in and do a private concert. So like we had this big thing set up for like a formal dinner. And then the way that we had the tent was set up, it was angled off the back and it was blocked off. Like you couldn't tell that it was there and you couldn't see it. But off the back was like an old school Frank Sinatra jazz club and had the stage set up. And so, I mean, there was probably, I want to say, I think there was like 20 tables that had held 10 people each. I mean, it was a big party. And I mean, there were chandeliers hanging from the tent. Like it was super formal.
Bougie, yeah.
And then when they cut the cake, they had his back turned away from entrance to the jazz thing. And we're all starting to sing happy birthday. And as everybody's singing happy birthday, the curtain drops to the jazz room and Michael Bublé and his band are playing happy birthday. And like this guy was so drunk, he didn't realize
what
was going on. And then his wife was like, "Hey, turn around." He's like, "Oh, what?" Turns around. He's like, "Oh shit!" And everybody just took off towards the stage.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were working it, and so but we got to obviously we were there, and we got to. I mean, we weren't sitting there partying with them, but we got to.
Yeah,
you're still
right there.
Yeah. And the cool thing about it was, I mean, we got there. I think we were at the house at like 9 a.m. Start to set up and get everything ready for this party. And she was like, yeah, he's not going to be here until later. You know, I booked a golf trip for him or a golf outing for him and his buddies. And then for them to go to this cigar lounge afterwards. And so we had plenty of time to get this set up, but like Michael Bublé and his band showed up at like noon. And so we're feeding them and taking care of them and getting to meet them and hang out with them. And awesome dude. Like, yeah, he was so cool, so laid back. But yeah, that was probably one of the neatest experiences I had, just because I got to, like, it was so intimate. Like, I mean, it was so intimate. It was a private concert by Michael Bublé. And I've seen him twice.
Really?
Yeah. And two other times at Scott Trade.
Before or after this?
After.
After.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah,
I like probably made you a bigger fan of
Michael Bublé. Well, and it was, yeah. So I went, Melissa and I went right before. It was right after Connor was born. Yeah, it was a few months after Connor was born. So she was letting loose.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we found, this was like right before we found out she was pregnant with Oliver. And so she cut loose and we had a good time. And then my buddy got married the next day, but we saw him then. And then I went at 22, went and saw him again. With the girl that I was dating at the time, and that it was great. Had a great time. But I think best concert was hands down that Eric Church, just because it was.
Yeah. Well, it's like that. About a time, and it's like the people you're with. It's a combination of things. It's the show, but it's also like the show, the venue, and the people you're with. You know, absolutely. Like the people you go with, that makes a huge difference, for sure. In my opinion. You know, absolutely. Like I remember, like, you know, college, you're just with your friends all the time, which is just like, looking back on that now, it's just like, man, it's so different. You know, now it's like, I mean, other than you guys, which I see you guys all the time.
You know? Yeah, I'm sick of your ass.
What?
Yeah, I'm sick of your ass.
Yeah, especially this week.
Oh, yeah. I'm kidding.
No, we have fun. But no, like when we're, when you're in college, you just live with your friends. Yeah. You do nothing but hang out with your buddies all the time. And, we're several years removed from that, and it's just kind of looking back on that now, it's like, damn, it's fucking great times. Let's get on to our next one. What is your open house strategy? So obviously this, I'll kind of take the lead on this one, but so my open house strategy, I've changed it a little bit. I still think sometimes I go back to the original way that I was doing it, because I used to do a lot more open houses. When I was first getting in the business, I think that doing open houses is one of the best. It is like one of the best ways to find leads as a brand new agent, and just to get out there and kind of cut your teeth a little bit. And, it's a great opportunity to, there's nothing else you can do in real estate where you can basically like set a beacon out and people come to you, you know, like for people interested in buying or selling real estate come to you. Whereas, you know, every other type of lead generating, it's you kind of going to them. You're calling them, you're knocking on their door, they're seeing your ads, but everything else is you going to them. So this is them coming to you. So what I do is I get pretty aggressive with my signs and door. Sometimes I will get there, you know, the day before or the day of and door knock the neighborhood. I'll knock on the neighborhood, you know, usually for about an hour, sometimes 2 hours before, go, you know, knock on the houses around the neighborhood. Just like, hey, just letting you guys know, house down the street's for sale. We're doing an open house on Saturday from 1 to 3. If you guys know anybody that's looking to move into the neighborhood, this is a great opportunity for you to pick out your neighbor. So if you know anybody, or, you know, even if you just want to see what the houses around the neighborhood look like, you know, just to compare it to yours, or just be a nosy neighbor, this is a perfect opportunity. Come on by. We'd love to meet you. Love to come hang out. So I usually do that. I don't always do that, but I used to do that a lot more, because it was a great opportunity to possibly meet some potential sellers. Because I've gotten several like nosy neighbors that have come through my open houses before, because they're interested in selling and they want to know what the house, you know, what the caliber of finishes needs to be, you know, competitive to get this price. So they'll go through and they'll be like, oh, this kind of looks like my house. Ooh, they got a nicer kitchen than us. Ooh, their basement's finished. Ours isn't. You know, they like look at those kinds of things. So door knock the neighborhood. I will have my VA. She'll circle dial the neighborhood as well. So we have a program where she'll be able to pull up all the numbers in a neighborhood. She'll call through them and basically just kind of rip that same script where she'll be like, hey, and I'll record a voicemail that she'll drop if no one answers, or I'll basically say like, hey, just wanted to let you guys know. It's pretty much the same thing as the door knocking script, where you'll say like, hey, just wanted to let you know, house at 123 Main Street's doing an open house this weekend from 1 to 3 on Saturday. You guys know anybody looking to move into the neighborhood? This is a great opportunity for you to pick out your neighbor. Come on by. You know, even if you just want to be a nosy neighbor, come on by. We'd love to have you. So I'll record that voicemail. She'll call the neighborhood. If nobody answers, she'll drop the voicemail in my voice that says that. If they do answer, she rips the script in her voice, obviously. And then now the day of the open house, I get pretty aggressive with the signs. I usually put out anywhere from like 8 to 10 signs, you know, all the corners leading into the neighborhood, into the house, any of the main streets close to there. I always have a directional arrow signs that I put out, to try to funnel everybody to the house. You know, when they get to the house, so I used to have an individual, sheet for every person that came in. I would like basically print out like 20 to 30 sheets, and every person that come through, I would hold the clipboard. I'd ask them their name, or I would either set up a table in the, it just totally dependent on the layout of the house, but I usually set a table up like either in the middle of like the, like when they walk in, or just like kind of a good area where they basically have to walk by you. And I will, you know, I basically ask them questions like, Hey, can I, you know, hey, how you guys doing today? What's, what brought you in today? You guys been looking around for a while or just getting started? You know, and you just kind of get their story and, you know, get their name, their phone number, their email. You know, sometimes people are weird about that, but I'd always say like, hey, I'm sorry, the seller wanted me to get everybody's contact information, that came through their house. And most people, when you say that, most people don't argue with you. You know, people are weird about giving out their email sometimes, but as long as I get a phone number, I'm usually happy with that. Just cause that's how most people, that's the easiest way to get a hold of people anyway. So I will, you know, and then I also, and then I, you know, if I try to just basically my whole strategy of an open house is I want to be a professional friend maker, because, you know, this is an opportunity to, you know, to make a potentially a new client if they're not working with an agent yet. So, you know, I'll follow them, you know, I kind of feel out the vibe. If they don't want me following them around, talking to them, then I just leave them alone. But, you know, there's some people that are engaging in the conversation and we just kind of get to talking. And, you know, I'm kind of taking notes on that sheet as I go. You know, I'm like, well, you know, hey, if this one isn't the, you know, the perfect house for you, is there a, you know, could you tell me what that, you know, that dream house looks like? You know, and I'll take some notes down. And then, you know, if they're okay with it, I usually offer to set them up on an MLS search. So that way it's just another way to kind of drip on them and stay in touch. But, you know, there are people out there who'll just be like, hey, no, I'm working with an agent. And then if I do that, I just usually just leave them alone. But that's usually my strategy. My whole strategy is just be nice, be friendly, get their information, try to figure out what they're looking for. Because if you can be a resource to them and you can provide them with what they're looking for, then, you know, there's a good chance that they might want to work with you. So, and that's kind of my open house strategy. I know I kind of bounced around there, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty solid strategy. I mean, for me, it's obviously a little bit different. It's been a while since I've worked an open house. But when I do, the last thing I want to do is try and sell. Basically, like you said, you're just sitting there and I try and like, I'll get the sheets and I'll look at the sheets and the details of the house just so if someone has a question, I can try and answer it. Not like, I'm not going to sit here and I'm just like, oh, I'm not the agent, but I'm on the financing side. But you know, here's a sheet and kind of just help pass things out and kind of help the conversations get started. From the financing side, if they ask, you know, it's very rarely where somebody will come in and ask what the payment would be for something like this. But I will have my computer there in case somebody does want to see numbers worked up and I can quickly get things worked up for them so they can see that. But ultimately my goal is when I'm at an open house is, you know, and I'm not, if I find out that someone doesn't have an agent, like you said, you're trying to find out what it is that they're looking for. You know, it's the same thing. It's almost like because I know that if I can help the agent that's hosting the open house pick up that lead, then I know that it's probably going to come back to me anyway. So it's going to be more along the lines of me, if I'm going to sell anything, it's selling that agent's skills.
Yeah.
And some of the best strategies I've seen from agents are similar to what you said. I mean, it doesn't sound like you're trying to sell them. You're just trying to get information out of them.
I try to avoid the question, do you have an agent?
Right.
You know, like, right. I try to like, you know, I kind of wait for them to like say that, you know, like that's always kind of like been a taboo thing to like, are you working with anybody? Cause it just sounds like you're, you know, that's all you want.
Yeah.
You know, I try to avoid that question at all costs. And if they are working with something, it usually comes out in conversation.
Yeah. And there was one that I saw, I can't remember what it, who the agent was that I was helping, but they had that house's information, and then they had three other listings in the area that were similar to that.
Mm.
So they could be like, well, hey, you know, by the way, you know, if this one doesn't work, here's three other ones that you can go check out. If you want to see them, just let me know. Or,
yeah,
you know, and
this open house is done at 3:00. We can meet you over there at 3:30. You know, I've done that many times.
Yeah. You know, and it's just like, hey, here's, you know, obviously this house, if this one doesn't work for you, here's three other ones that are around here, you know, and if you decide you want to see them, you can either let me know, or if you've got an agent, let them know and they can go show you. Just like, you're giving away information, mm-hmm. like giving away things that they might not readily know.
Yeah.
and that was one thing that I saw that I was like, wow, that's a really good idea. Yeah. Because obviously, like, if they don't want to buy that house, and you know, they are looking, and it's a good way to weed out, like, all right, are they just here to look, mm-hmm. and get it, like, or are they actually serious? So that was one that I saw somebody do that I thought was very interesting.
That's a great way to
and
do
I
it.
I was like, wow, that's pretty smart.
Yeah.
So that was one of the strategies that I saw that I worked well, or that worked well for that agent. But yeah, I mean, for me, like I said, I'm just there as another person to talk to, and I just let them know, yeah, I'm on the financing side. You know, so if you have questions about payment or anything like that, I'm happy to answer them. But yeah, I mean, for more information, like, if you really want to know about this house, I mean, Zach's a killer agent. He's closing deals left and right, and he's got this house priced perfectly. So you want to chat with him about all the features in regards to that. So basically it's like fluffing up the agent,
selling them.
Yeah. Selling them, because obviously it's eventually would come back
to you. Yeah. I actually had a perfect open house scenario one time where I had this lady I was hosting, and it was in Eureka. She comes in, you know, walks straight up to me. She goes, all right, I'll be honest with you. I'm not house shopping. I'm realtor shopping. I'm looking to sell my house down the street. I said, well, hello, you know, and like, right. We ended up hitting it off, and you know, 2 weeks later I had her house listed. It was like dream scenario for right. Like, that's like, if every time I held an open house, it, you know, that happened, I would hold open houses every single day of the week.
Yeah. No, I like that part where you were like, yeah, you know, going around to the neighbors and be like, hey, if you've ever wanted to choose your neighbors, now's the time.
Yeah.
Because this house is going for sale. And if you know somebody that's been dying, everybody
might know somebody. Yeah.
You know, I can't tell you how many times, like, I've talked to people about, like, with my neighborhood, that know my neighborhood, know the people that are in there. I mean, shit. I mean, after the divorce was finalized, so there's a family in there that has kids my kid's age. Well, big family on both sides. And one of the sisters actually just built a house in there and moved in. And now her parents and brother-in-law came up, and both of them were like, yeah, if you ever want to sell your house, you know, just let us know. We'd love to be in your neighborhood. I'm like, I mean, they're probably going to be the first people I call. Like, hey, I'm thinking about selling my house. You know,
yeah, do it.
You want to make an offer, you know, before we ever hit the market, you know, let's
do it.
Let's see what we got, you know,
for sure.
Shoot. I mean, like,
save you 6%.
Right. Well, yeah.
Yeah,
I have to let Melissa list it,
of course.
So, yeah. You know, but yeah, it's I mean, and then, like, the lady that cuts my hair, she cuts like 5 or 6 people in my subdivision's hair, and she's always like, "Yeah, there's never a house come for sale. Let me know. We want to be in your neighborhood." And I'm like, "Absolutely." So,
yeah,
I feel like everybody knows somebody that
wants to,
especially
move.
Like,
yeah,
especially when you're dealing with family and friends. You know, you want that. They want to be by you. They're going to, you know, they might have a strong interest in that house.
Damn right. So go on to the next one. All right. What is your typical daily routine look like to achieve the volume of business you have?
I think we've touched on this a few times.
Yeah, we have. Boy, I used to be way more dialed in with my morning routine, and I do have a morning routine now. It's just not as lengthy as it used to be. You know, now it's just like, I wake up, go downstairs, say hi to Gina, grab my coffee, go sit on the couch, and I read my 10 to 20 pages. I just basically read for like 25, 30 minutes until Calvin wakes up, and then hang out with him for like an hour or so. And then, you know, Gina leaves, you know, about 20 to 30 minutes after he wakes up. And I, you know, it's just me and him for like that next like hour, hour and a half. Then I go drop him off. And then I typically will go, unless it's a Tuesday or a Thursday, I go to the gym and get that done. So then I'm usually, you know, done by 10:30 or so, depending, you know, on the day. But, and then from there, it's pretty much depends on the day, you know, like obviously social media is a big pillar of my business. So I always make that, I always make sure I have, I'm constantly documenting what I'm doing, you know, via stories and stuff. So I'm always trying to put out, you know, a handful of stories a day just to kind of stay relevant. We always put out one of our reels every day, or almost every day. And it just kind of, it kind of depends, you know, I do have kind of a set day, and I've kind of taken this from you on like days that I follow up with past clients, days that I, you know, take care of my current deals that are pending. You know, I take care, and then I have a day where I have people that I'm like, you know, kind of dripping on that I know that they're going to do something in the future. I catch up with them. So it just kind of depends on the day of the week. But then there's some days where it's just like, I'm just like running around like a chicken with my head cut off, trying to put out fires, kind of like today. So, you know, it just kind of depends. And then now, you know, days where we've got podcasts, so that kind of depends. It really depends on the day of the week. I don't really have any ever, no 2 days ever look the same. So I know I didn't really answer your question like directly, but, that's just kind of what my days look like.
Yeah. I mean, I would say the most important thing is being in control of your schedule and making sure every day you have some sort of non-negotiable that you have to complete towards your business. So, you know, I've talked about this a lot of times in my days and how they're structured. And, you know, Monday's my agent call day. That's the day that I'm calling agents, you know, new agents, not agents that I'm working with, but agents that I'm trying to set appointments with and set meetings with. And, you know, I try to avoid cold calling. So I'm calling on agents that, you know, I might have a deal with here and there that I've got a relation, somewhat of a relationship with. Or my favorite is the relationships I've developed with the listing agents on past deals that I've closed. And calling them, because it's not really a cold call. I've already had conversations with them through that process. And so they know who I am. So it's not so much of a cold call at that point. So, you know, I'm asking past clients and friends and family and other agents like, hey, you know, do you know any agents that are, you know, having issues with the lenders that they're currently working with? I'd love to be connected with them. And I'll do that. And just call those agents on Monday. Like that's what my Mondays are booked for. Tuesdays, those are my Tuesday update days where I'm calling the buyer's agent, listing agent, and just keeping everybody in the loop of what's going on. Basically, that's my follow-up day. That's the day that I'm on the phone a lot. You know, at any point in time, I've got anywhere from 15 to 20 deals in the pipeline. So that's anywhere from 45 to 60 phone calls. So that's a big chunk of the day. And then, you know, Wednesdays we podcast, but usually those are the days where I'm reaching out to past clients. And then Thursdays where I'm following up with my people that are pre-qualified, meaning I've got an application from them. I'm just missing docs, or we've only done a soft credit pull. Like I've got all the docs and we've done a soft credit pull. Trying to find out basically if they're how hot they are. And I'm just reaching out like, hey, you know, we're a few things away from being pre-approved. Are you wanting to get fully pre-approved just yet? You got any houses that you're wanting to go look at this weekend? If so, send me those numbers. And on Friday, they're usually sending it out late. Are you sending it out on Thursday? So that way I have it. We're touching the pre-quals to get pre-approved, and I'm touching reaching out to the people that are pre-approved to get addresses that they're looking to. And then I spend Friday working up those numbers for them, and all that stuff's done in the, you know, until about 3 o'clock. And then once 3 o'clock hits, that's where I'm setting up new client phone calls for applications, or working on pre-approvals for clients. But then you're also mixing in, I do consultations with all the people that I talk to, whether it's a credit consultation, you know, mortgage consultation, where it's looking at the options that are available to them, you know, different things like that. And those are usually set up between 3 and the end of the day. If I have my kids, then I'm done with my last one at 5. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to pick up my kids and I'm spending the rest of the time with them. If I don't have my kids, I mean, I'll be setting those things up until 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, just because I can. Mm-hmm. I don't have anything else going on. So the biggest thing is making sure for whether you're a loan officer or a real estate agent that you have your day, like themes for your day.
Yeah.
And you set up the non-negotiables to complete what you need to do for those themes and sticking to that.
Yeah, I've seen people do it a number of different ways. They'll like do it alphabetically. They'll do it, you know, a day. I like the theme day better. Yeah. It just seems like a better way to categorize it.
Yeah. And it's just, and like every day is a different theme. And like my past clients days that I'm touching out, reaching out to them, it's, you know, usually the last Wednesday of the month before their, you know, first payment's coming due. I'll touch base with those clients that closed the month before and say, hey, listen, your first payment's coming due. Let me know if you have any issue, if you need some help getting your online account set up. And then that's just kind of generating a conversation. It's all through text.
That's what a lot of mine are lately too. I like that. And I like video text too. Yeah. Sometimes I'll just like send like just a quick, like little 30-second selfie video.
Yep.
Okay, man, you know, how you been? Just wanted to check in. You know, I saw you guys, you know, I saw that the kids, you know, your son won a soccer tournament this past weekend. How cool. You know, like I'll pull up their social media, just make sure I'm like kind of up to date. There's not something like big in their life that I just missed, you know, like, so, you know, I might reference that. Just say, hey, just wanted to check in. You know, I just sold a house down the street from you. I just wanted to, you know, thought of you guys, just wanted to, you know, check in, see how you guys were doing. You guys need anything, you know, I'm always here. You know, if you guys need any contractors, roofers, plumbers, electricians, I've got three of everybody. So if you guys need anybody, just let me know. You know, I'll send stuff like that out all the time and, you know, just stay in touch with people, you know, and I think that's a nice part about social media too, is you can kind of, you know, they're seeing you, but you're not like directly dripping on them. Right. You know, I think that's just a helpful thing too. You know, the fact that they're just always kind of being reminded you're in real estate, and if they need somebody, you know, you're there.
Right. So. Yeah. I just think the biggest thing to that is just having a routine.
Yeah.
And sticking to it.
Yeah. All right. Well, next one, this is all three of these last real estate ones are from Anthony. Mm-hmm. He's great. Advice to newer real estate agents, not originally from the market they're in, to grow their business.
We've talked about this.
Yeah, we have. Yeah. If I got picked up and just dropped off in a random city and I didn't know anybody, and I had to learn how to sell houses around there, what I would do first is, well, first of all, I would research the market, make sure I know the areas, kind of figure out the lay of the land. You know, I mean, I've been born and raised here in St. Louis my whole life. So like I already just kind of knew the areas pretty well. Obviously, you know, being in the business for now for, you know, almost 5 years, I've got a pretty good lay of the land as far as real estate goes. But first things I would do, my business would be set up on three different strategies. I would be doing copious amounts of open houses, like anywhere from like 2 to 3 a week minimum is what I would do. Cause that's what I did when I first started. I was doing open houses like Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the same fucking house. You know, I was like calling agents that had listings and like even that weren't even in my brokerage. I would just call, like at first I would try people in my brokerage, but when I first started that first year in real estate, EXP was so small in St. Louis. There was only like 20 agents or there was like less than 100 agents all in Missouri. Mm-hmm. And I think there was like 28 in St. Louis and no one knew me. And I was like, hey, I see you got this listing in, you know, in De Pere. Can I hold it open? You know, I would basically, what I would do is I'd pull up the MLS. I'd see like, okay, well here's all the listings in my brokerage. Oh, I like this one. This is a 300,000 in Oakville. Like, well, yeah, I'd like to get more, you know, I'd love to get some Oakville buyers in that price point, you know, so I might as well see, I'll call this agent. Hey, you know, you don't know me, but is there any chance, you know, I'm just a newer agent. I'm looking to, you know, host some open houses to kind of get my name out there, try to get some leads for myself. You know, would you and the seller be willing to let me host an open house? And typically I would target houses that were vacant or, you know, that people weren't living in there. Cause that was people are probably a little apprehensive to have a random person host an open house. But if it's a vacant house, you know, they're more likely to do that. So I'd be hosting anywhere from like 2 to 3 open houses a week is what would be the one thing I would do. I would get very, very aggressive with my social media. I would be posting, you know, I would post, I mean, pretty much what I do now every single day. I would try to every single day, anywhere from 5 to 7 days a week. And, you know, I would make those, you know, pretty real estate focused. You know, sometimes I'd mix in other stuff just to let people know what I do, you know, so that they can relate to me as a person instead of just a real estate agent. And then the third thing is I would circle dial a lot. I'd probably make that a part of my, that was my routine when I first got started. And my like standard was 100 dials a day. I was like, I'll get on my computer and do the circle dialing. And I will do, as long as it takes me to hit 100 dials, sometimes I can knock that out in 40 minutes. Sometimes it takes me an hour and a half, 2 hours. So it just depends on how many people pick up the phone and how those conversations go. Cause obviously if people are picking up the phone, that's what you want. You want to be having conversations with people. And what's nice about that is you can pick the area and the price point essentially, of the people that you're targeting. So, I would do those three things, social media, open houses, and circle dialing. And the last thing that I would do, if you're not from there, I would join a community or multiple communities, like whether that's joining a gym or joining a club, join something that you're interested in, because there's other people, whatever you like, there's other people out there that like that same shit. So join that gym, you know, but here's the thing is don't join the gym or join the community and, you know, be Mr. Salesy real estate thing. Right. That's what your social media is for. You friend all those people on, you know, once you get there and you meet people, you become friends with them. Yeah. Add them on social media so that there they see your real estate shit. That's what I do. Like, I never talk about real estate at Watson's or CrossFit. Like, if people bring it up to me, I'll talk about it. But like, I'm like trying to sell my friends at the gym, but we're all friends on social media. So they obviously know what I do. So I get a lot of business from those communities. So those would be like my four things that I would do if you pick me up and threw me anywhere. That's what I would do.
Oh yeah. Yeah. First and foremost, I think it would be joining some sort of community. Getting out there and just like
you said, that really should have been the first thing I said.
Honestly, like you said, you're not selling. I mean, you need to mix your social media with your communities.
Yes.
So if you're not from a particular area, you know, what is it that you like? Because obviously you want to work with people that have similar interests to you. And I would get out there and I would just be in the community. You know, find out where the farmers markets are and just go and record videos of you being at the farmers market and, or even like setting up a booth at some,
my top three favorite parks in X city, you know, like you can make all sorts of videos. Like you just want to be a source of the community,
right?
You know,
exactly. And like, hey, you know, checking out new restaurants, checking out new things like that, and then posting about it and then tagging them in it. And using that, but then also, like you said, joining some sort of community. Like if you like to work out, get in with a gym and then start befriending people at the gym.
And be social when you're there.
And be social.
Like, this is, again, if you're not a social person, like this might not be the business for you.
Right.
You know, like, I don't know what to tell you, but like, you gotta be kind of a social butterfly to be good at this business.
Exactly. And then obviously, like, you know, most people are being transplanted to places that where you, like, you may not know it, have a big sphere, but you're going to that place for a reason, whether it's because you're dating somebody or a job, like just something. And so at that point, now you need to start leveraging those people's relationships that you have. So like if you move here because of a relationship, like a girlfriend or a wife and their family's here, now you need to start leveraging those people and getting in with their family, their friends and all that. But again, you're not selling. You know, you're just befriending them so they can see what you're doing on social media, which they're going to see you out and about in the community. They're going to see you looking at all these restaurants and doing the farmers markets and doing all these things. And then, you know, even just like calling an agent and going to a house and be like, hey, do you care if I just film a quick walkthrough of this house and putting that out there?
Yeah.
Like just things like that, just so people can realize.
You can set up showings. Yeah. They're called agent previews, you know, and it's like you can totally do that.
And then what I would also do is I would, so like the difference between real estate agents and loan officers. So real estate agents are directly to the clients, where loan officers are more about the relationship building between referral partners. I would, and that's the one thing that I recommend this to agents, no matter where they're at, whether they've been here or not, but like find a financial advisor, find an insurance agent that does a lot of rentals and become friends with them, like networking groups, like
BNIs.
Get into a BNI group, or start a BNI group or try and find any network. I mean, like here in St. Louis, we've got the Young Professionals Networking Group. They're always throwing events.
Yep.
And there's always like, there's just get out there.
Yep.
Get out there. And like I said, you can, if you're going to do anything, just wear your name tag and they'll be able to see what you do, but don't sit there and throw it in their face. Like, oh, I'm a real estate agent. I can do this, this, and this. No. Just
everybody knows what you can do.
Yeah. Everybody knows what real estate agents can do.
And it's like, that's the thing about us is like, there's not, yeah, sure. I might have like more access to, you know, like more resources as far as like contractors. I might have, you know, more of those in my pocket, or I might have, you know, more contacts for off market deals and stuff like that. But like, as far as like the MLS goes, anybody can set you up on an MLS and show a house. Like there's no, like the skill that you have relies in your, like your ability to negotiate, your experience. And like the only way to get experience is to get out there and do it. So, yeah. You know, you need to just put yourself out there, like Pat said, and just go be social
and build your team.
Yes.
Build a team of people that you know and trust. And that becomes down to a lot of networking and then communicating with other agents about, hey, who do you guys, you know, recommend and use? Like, who do you guys trust? And then go from there about building your team and networking with those people and setting up events and doing home buying seminars, you know, things like that, just to try and get your name out there. And, hopefully that'll, as you continue to do that and the more immersed in the community you become, the better that'll be for you moving forward. I know, but as a loan officer, like I said, it's a little bit different. I mean, you know, when I got started, I would just go to offices. But this was back when agents were in offices. Yeah, they're not in offices anymore.
Right.
So it's just finding out, you know, who the top agents are and then just calling and introducing yourself. Cold calling sucks, but it is what it is. It's part of the job. And, you know, that's what I would do, as well as that would be another pillar for me is getting, you know, using that to get in with the offices. Like, oh, hey, well, okay, if you don't know anybody, but you happen to know somebody that's, you know, in need of a new lender, I'd love to be connected. And just kind of planting that seeds and making those phone calls. And, you know, again, it all comes back to getting your name out there.
All right, guys, that's it for our Q&A episode. We're going to start doing more of these. So, next time we put the question boxes out on our inbox, on our Instagrams, please submit a question. It's just they're fun to answer. So if you're not subscribed already, please hit that subscribe button for us. Hit that like button and then comment. You can comment a question down below if you want, or just send it to us directly when we or put it up when we put it up on our Instagrams. So. We'll see you guys next time.